Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, Canada's privacy commissioner says Facebook violated the rights of Canadians.
Given Facebook's response, my office plans to take the matter to federal court to seek an order to force Facebook to correct its privacy practices.
Conservative politicians meet with oil company executives to talk about how to unseat the Liberals.
I think it does leave them open to questions about, you know, what did he say and what types of undertakings were given by the oil patch people to support the Conservative Party.
And the Prime Minister says the Ontario government is short-sighted and irresponsible for fighting the carbon tax.
Look no further than Ontario to find a provincial government that's wasting taxpayers' money fighting climate action in court while ignoring their commitments to protect species at risk.
It's Friday, April 26th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald, Dan Legere. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Mark.
Facebook is under scrutiny and has been for some time by regulatory officials all over the world. And now Canada's privacy commissioner is saying it broke the rules. It violated the privacy of Canadians. We've heard this outcome in other countries as well. What do you make of this? And is the process and the punishment sufficient that Facebook and other social media companies are going to take heed and change the way they do business?
Well, you know, governments around the world, as you alluded to, Mark, are scrambling to figure out how to deal with Facebook and other types of social media and their use of the data that we users voluntarily provide. We provide a certain amount of information just to sign up, but then these websites like Facebook have a way of extracting more and more and more information on our preferences, where we live, what we like, what we don't like. And this has been weaponized, as we've seen, for instance, in the U.S. elections of 2016. We've seen it in Canada. Virtually everyone I know who has a Facebook account has seen evidence of their friends and neighbors getting these messages from places, messages that are basically handcrafted to appeal to these individuals. Now, regulators are figuring them out. But I think what we're seeing here is just the inability of governments and regulators to deal with something as big. I mean, Facebook has 1.5 billion users. These are immense, gigantic, globe-spanning organizations that are extremely hard for any single country to regulate, even the U.S. and especially Canada.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there's a political connection to all of this because, of course, that adds a twist to this. The political parties themselves have used social media platforms to promote their messages, or supporters of political parties have done so, right?
Absolutely, and this has gotten into our politics everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're a Facebook user, you have probably seen anti-this or anti-that. You don't see a lot of pro-one party or pro-one position. You see a lot of attacking and a lot of really quite crazy memes and things like that that are aimed at tearing down political opponents. But certainly there are Canadian connections. I mean, this Cambridge Analytica that had ties to both the Brexit campaign in the UK and the Trump campaign in the US in 2016 has links to a firm in Victoria. The main whistleblower is a Canadian, a guy named Christopher Wiley. So, you know, there are Canadian connections, and the Privacy Commissioner has been working on this for over a year. But they are basically admitting that, regulations and laws have to be tightened up in order to give some teeth to the regulatory exercise here. So, I mean, I think you had Navdeep Bains and the Democratic Institutions Minister, Carina Gould, yesterday talking about, the need to hold companies accountable, promising more action. But they really are scrambling. And I get the sense that Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, WhatsApp, and all these things are moving way faster than the governments are in any jurisdiction.
Speaking of Carina Gould, the Democratic Institutions Minister said yesterday that a meeting that took place between Andrew Scheer, some other conservative politicians, and executives from the oil industry is concerning, that Canadians need more transparency from political parties in this election year. What was happening at that meeting? What do we know about that, and what does it mean?
Well, it appears that Andrew Scheer, along with some other high-ranking members of the Conservative Party, spoke in a private or closed-door meeting with oil executives who are keen on rolling back environmental regulations and oversight, who are opposed to carbon regulation and things like that, and, you know, in order to, I gather, get their support. So, I mean, the oil execs, we're also hearing from Hamish Marshall, who is the Conservative Party's campaign manager. They heard from other conservatives. They heard from the Conservative Party's lawyer, Arthur Hamilton, on ways to use legal instruments to fight, you know, opposition to oil. So, but it's the whole thing is that it had to be revealed in the media. I mean, I first saw it on iPolitics. But it wasn't something the conservatives admitted or talked about or publicized. And it has this sense, it leaves this feeling, I think, in some people's minds, that, well, what are they doing, meeting behind closed doors with these big oil companies when carbon pricing, carbon taxes, and the future of the Alberta oil industry are major, major political issues every day here. And, you know, it leaves them open. I think it does leave them open to questions about, you know, what did he say and what types of undertakings were given by the oil patch people to support the Conservative Party. So, you know, Alberta's not going to play well.
Is there not room for politicians to have private meetings with different stakeholders in Canada, though? Does the Prime Minister's itinerary goes out every day, and sometimes it just says private meetings. So in those cases, we don't know who he's meeting with.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And you know, but this seems a little bit different in the sense that here's the leader of the party, their campaign manager, their senior legal consultant, other social media and you know, campaign people, all meeting as a group with this group of oil companies. And I just did a partial list of these oil companies. I also noticed, Mark, most of them are sort of exploration and production people. They're companies that don't have a retail element. So in other words, if you have to sell your gas to regular folks like you and me across the country, you're going to be very careful about how you play your politics. But if all you do is dig oil out of the ground and sell it to a different oil company, you're never dealing with the public. You don't have a retail thing. You're not a voter-oriented company, shall we say, or a broad public audience company. So they are able to meet in private and to influence the politicians they speak to. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I don't think lobbying should be shut down or anything like that. But I am saying that we, the people, want to know and deserve to know a little bit more about an obvious full court press by the conservatives and these quiet, you know, not well-known oil companies to get their way, especially when there's so much on the table.
All right. The Prime Minister was speaking yesterday at an environmental conference in Montreal, and at that time he criticized Ontario and other provinces that are trying to stop the federal carbon tax and challenging it in court. He called them short-sighted and irresponsible, and I think we know the battle lines have been drawn around this issue in this election year. This is probably going to be a familiar theme, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I don't know why anybody's surprised. If you have Doug Ford bashing away at the Liberal government day every day about, you know, you name it, you know, at some point the feds are going to, you know, be roused from their slumber, if you will, and start to bat back. And I really think that Ford, you know, and some of the others who oppose carbon taxes and things like that have stolen a march on the federal Liberals and have succeeded in making their case much more effectively than the Trudeau government has, you know, certainly in the past 6 or 8 months. So, you know, this is something the Liberals, from a political standpoint, you know, also from a governing standpoint, if they're going to make their policies work, they're going to have to get out there and deal with the critics of it. And, you know, you can't stand by and have the premier of a big province saying the things he's saying and not saying anything back. So I think this is just the start I thought Trudeau's comments, you know, were pointed but fairly measured. I would look to other members of the Liberal caucus and the Liberal cabinet to come out with the knives right out of the sheath and start to go there. And let's face it, Doug Ford's a pretty rich target. So, you know, I don't think you're going to see him just walking around saying anything he wants with no response from Ottawa much longer.
All right, Dan, great to have your comments on all these subjects today. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. Talk soon, Mark.
That's Dan Legere, author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald.
With climate change, we're going to see more and more of these extreme weather events more regularly. It means we have to think about adaptation and mitigation and how we're going to move forward together.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Globe and Mail, Glenn McGillivray argues, with repeated disasters the norm, we need to have a better plan. McGillivray writes, the flooding in parts of Ottawa, Gatineau, Montreal, and Fredericton isn't unexpected. But the messaging from politicians is noticeably more pointed. Property damage from repeated flooding is not acceptable. 2 years ago, the message that property owners need to permanently vacate floodplains came from disaster researchers and insurers and others. This time around, it's being reinforced by the powers that can actually make things happen. In the Ottawa Citizen, Andrew McDougall argues the one-time Liberal juggernaut is now limping to the finish line. McDougall writes, if the pain stopped at SNC-Lavalin, it might be manageable. But there is still the slow creep of the trial of Vice Admiral Mark Norman and Justin Trudeau's vacation on the Aga Khan's luxury island. Back in the news, thanks to a federal judge ruling that the lobbying commissioner ought to have another look into the matter, Trudeau has 6 months to rebuild his image and defuse two big bombs. And in the Toronto Star, Rick Salutin argues against personal storytelling in politics. Salutin writes, we have a recent publication, Jagmeet Singh's Love and Courage, that the publisher, perhaps protesting too much, calls not a political memoir. Justin Trudeau published Common Ground just before the last election. Andrew Scheer's personal narrative will only take me by surprise if it doesn't happen. The result is you get people voting for a storyline rather than a government. Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Prime Minister will be in private meetings today. The second edition of the General Council of the Conservative Party of Canada in Quebec will take place today and tomorrow in Victoriaville. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will be at the Food Security Symposium in Toronto. In Thunder Bay, Ontario, Employment Minister Patty Haidu will make an announcement about bringing high-speed internet service to rural and remote communities. Minister for Women, Mariam Monsef, will make an announcement in support of women's organizations in Peterborough, Ontario. Minister of Seniors, Philomena Tassi, will visit a seniors organization in Mississauga, Ontario. Justice Minister David Lametti will make two announcements in Montreal. In Quebec City, Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will make an announcement in support of women's organizations. National Revenue Minister Diane Leboutillier will make a funding announcement in SEP, Quebec. International Trade Diversification Minister Jim Carr will be in Winnipeg to showcase Canada's trade diversification strategy. Minister Carr and Border Security Minister Bill Blair will make a funding announcement in Winnipeg under the initiative to take action against gun and gang violence. Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale will make an announcement in support of women's organizations in Regina. Natural Resources Minister Amarjeet Sohi will announce an investment in Redwater, Alberta. Indigenous Services Minister Seamus O'Regan will attend an intergovernmental forum in Whitehorse. And Governor General Julie Payette will present the 2019 Governor General's Performing Arts Awards during a ceremony at Rideau Hall. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Friday, April the 26th. Tune into Primetime Politics Weekend on CPAC for coverage of all the week's events. Our podcast returns Monday morning. Have a great weekend.